And I pray that I'd speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Trinitarian formula in the prayer. You'll see in the notes, in Partnership News, I was smiled when I read Church Times this week, or Church Crimes, as we call it in our house. But it says, preachers are nervous about Trinity Sunday. This is in the same edition of the paper that then reviews another three books on different interpretations of the Trinity. And apparently the reason I'm nervous is because I need to go and check the historical development of the Trinity. That's what it tells us, that's why we're nervous. So clearly you wouldn't expect me to stand up here without having done thorough research on the historical development of the Trinity in this last week. So I've, you know, and there are lots of complicated words because we do seem to make things complicated. You know, things like hypostasis, economia, lots of different words. Homoousis, or not to be confused with homoiousis. And you'll see on the notes on the web, there's descriptions of what those mean, because it looks like when people want to make things complicated, they either express them in Greek or in Latin to make it really, really complex. And if we think something is complicated, then it is. And we make it more complex. But at its heart, the Trinity, I think, is quite simple. Jesus is the revelation of the Father God, who lives with us now through his Spirit. Jesus is distinct from, but united from the Father, and is distinct and distinguished from, but in unity with, the Holy Spirit. And one of the issues with the Trinity is that as soon as we start describing it, we start taking it apart to look at the different facets, when the essence of the Trinity is that it is a unity. Barth uses some good words to describe that, much more so than, you know, three different facets of the same thing. But as we look at the Jesus that is revealed, we see that Jesus is revealed by the Creator, of the Father God, the Creator. There is that creative piece of the Father in the Trinity. And in Jesus, we see that recreative power embodied and enabled through the Spirit. And if we look at the reading that we had in Matthew, and there were a couple of short readings, but the short reading in Matthew that we had, what we see is that God who reveals himself in Christ, in essence, is a missionary God. That the Trinity that is revealed is a missionary God. It's go and tell people, go and make disciples. It's a God about going out. There's a sense in which that triune God gives us an image of purpose and of direction and a sense of movement and dynamism as we have that image of the Trinity within us, as we look at that image of the Trinity, as we reflect on that image of the Trinity. It's not something which is static, but it's something which is alive and something which is moving and something which drives forward in a very positive sense. Now, having said that, one of the difficulties of dealing with the Trinity is you sometimes have to split it in different parts, which is almost counterproductive. I'm just going to do that. So, in a helicopter, there are three main controls. There's one that you have down here which looks like a handbrake, which is called the collective, and it's got some other bits and pieces on it. But essentially, that's the bit that is the up and downy bit. It alters the pitch on the rotors and various other bits. So it controls whether you go up. So when you're going up, you know, you go up, up and down. We're told in Genesis 1:28, that God puts humans over creation. He gives them responsibility for creation. There is a sense in the order of things. You know, we have God, the triune God, we have the angels, then we have ourselves, and then we have the animals and plants and so on and so forth. In the order of things, we are separate in that sense from creation. God puts us over creation, you know, to look after it and to take care of it. But God, in his order, you know, separates us, if you like, from that creation, just as a collective separates you from the ground. The other control, on the second control you have is the joystick or the cyclic, and that gives you the forward and the backward and the side-to-side movement. As we look at the Trinity, we see Christ as the person who gives us that direction through our salvation, through the grace of God, that we can have purpose and meaning in our lives, that we can have a relationship back with that Father God that was fractured through sin. We have that direction in our lives as we open ourselves to Christ as our Saviour. And then the third set of the third sort of control is the what's called the yaw pedals, which are like, you know, the pedals at the front. And they stop you going round in circles, because if you can lift off, you can move forward, but if you don't control the direction with the pedals, you just end up going round in circles. Because of all the physics that's going on and stuff going this way and stuff going this way, and you just go around in circles. And there is a sense in which that they give the fine direction. So they give the ultimate way that you will go. And there's a sense in which that's the guiding that the Spirit gives. So not just having the purpose in our lives, but gently guiding and empowering that we can walk in the way that God has set before us and the way that God has prepared for us. And the essence of flying in a helicopter, in that sense, is you just have to keep all of those three controls in balance. And you go where you want to go, at the height you want to go, at the speed you want to go. And it's the same with the Trinity. We need to keep all of those three facets of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in balance, if we're to make sense of our lives. Because the reality is, everyone is in that position in the hierarchy in the world, if you like, that God has given, that God has ordained. And we need to be mindful of the fact that we need to care for that creation. But everybody, all human life, has that separation. We are in that position which has been ordained by God. Those who are saved, those who confess that Jesus is Lord, do have direction that the Christ gives, do have that sense of purpose, do have that sense of mission in their lives. And we need to be mindful that we are all sinners, that we all need that continual salvation from God to give us that purpose and direction in our lives. But we also need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit so that direction is guided by the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit. If we get the three out of balance, if, for example, we have no concept of Christ or the Spirit, then we see a world that is controlling creation, but is not doing that in accordance with God's will. If we have perhaps an overemphasis on just being saved, as sometimes we see, then we end up being saved, but lacking ultimate direction in our lives, and just going round in circles and getting a bit frustrated. If we have an overemphasis on the Spirit, then we're empowered, but we lack the sense of purpose and direction that we have through balance with Christ, in order that what we do is fully aligned with God. It's by keeping those three facets of the Trinity in balance that our life as Christians has meaning, direction, and purpose. And we can go out as that missionary God, as that missionary God, the triune God within us, to tell others about that creation and that recreation that the triune God brings. We are part of that momentum that we have in the Trinity. Matthew's gospel is an interesting gospel because if you think about it, it starts with a baptism and it ends talking about baptism. It talks about going out, telling people about the triune God, enabling them to have that Trinity living within them, just as we have that Trinity living within us. The passage from Isaiah, the Israelites were all over the place. They were a lost and hopeless people. They're brought up short by a reminder of how great God is, how magnificent God is. You know, who can compare with him? Who can you even begin to think about him? And yet in Isaiah and in the gospel we see that magnificent God, that powerful God, caring for his community. We as Christians have the responsibility to look after that creation, to be mindful that we are sinners, to be empowered by the Spirit so that we can take that full message of the Godhead of the Trinity to the world which needs it. Amen.